and welcome to the inaugural podcast of Insert Name Here. There will be a name that we put there, but for now, we're Insert Name Here. I'm Beth Hicks. I am hosting this podcast with two amazing dudes who are going to introduce themselves right now.
I am Scott Austin.
Hello.
I said that like a robot.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
I am Johan Karabi. I am not a robot. I'm a human.
I'm just watching the little AM thing, the little tracky line, and I'm mesmerized by it. I may need a different seat at some point.
You know what else you can do? You can do this.
Oh, ooh.
Look at that.
Oh.
And now you're
really
not mesmerized.
Feel like we're with each other now.
Now we're with each other.
I really do feel like, this is actually better. I mean, I'm sorry to take that away from you, though.
No, that's okay.
Because
now I won't speak like my lines are showing me speaking, and I will hopefully sound a little less robotic.
I mean, you won't speak like we have to plug you in.
Yeah.
Because I will plug you in. I hope you know that. I have my plug in my bag, and I will plug
Girl,
you in.
Girl, I don't know that we are there yet.
Boy, I'm just saying that we are there yet.
Okay,
Johan
we
agrees
are.
Girls,
me.
Boys, everybody, just calm down.
All right.
I'll just keep drinking my wine, and we can keep talking. So the way we decided on this first podcast is we all picked someone or someones to text people that we trust and love who sent us a text, and we said, tell us in this exact moment what topic you'd like to hear us talk about, and we will talk about it. So we got a variety of topics, and Scott, why don't you tell us what topics our friends and loved ones decided would be appropriate to talk about in our first podcast?
Well, I'm actually feeling a bit neglected because my friends and loved ones, although I have texted now 4, have not gotten back to me. Mm. However,
and 2 of them were us, which is weird.
It is weird. You're sitting right here. I saw your phone.
I didn't even respond.
I saw your eyes roll.
I was busy. Scott, I was busy. I was
in
the middle of the podcast.
I have things to do.
It hurts me here, and for those of you who can't see me, I'm indicating my heart.
Blood chamber.
Beth and Johan's friends have suggested, I think, a very interesting trio of topics. We will start today with cute animals.
Cute animals.
And videos of them and why we love them so much.
It's true. It's not just that they exist, but more...
Not just the idea of cute animals.
The hypervisibility of cute animals in the media and the YouTube.
Wow.
Gun control.
Hmm.
A lot more timely, a lot less goofy.
Mm-hmm. Super fun, though, to talk about
also
gun control.
Fun.
And
super, super sexy.
It's
fun.
True. Finally, organ trafficking.
It's been on my mind a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge issue. I mean, for me. I don't know about for you guys.
Perhaps we could, at the end, try to talk about the use of gun violence to traffic organs of cute animals.
Whoa.
Wow.
That would be the end goal, is to bring this all together.
A collage.
One.
an oral collage of our topics.
It's like a thesis that combines all three.
Vulcan mind meld. A little Spockian.
Wow.
Considering Star Trek's new trailer just came out, and there's been a nerdgasm all over the internet.
I didn't even know there was a new Star Trek.
I didn't either.
Seriously, you guys don't know. Okay, there's a rock in the middle of this table, and you guys are all
on
under
the
it. No, you're under it.
I'm not on the rock.
You're under the rock. This is not the Mayflower.
It just came out today, though.
No, it didn't come out today. It's
no,
the trailer.
The trailer just came out today.
Oh, well, look who knows things now.
Well, yes. I saw it. It was good.
Has someone given you a topic?
All right,
someone has responded to Scott.
My lovely cousin Danielle just asked a more qualifying question, scholastically or socially. I said either. But my mom sent me a text, do you like flavored coffee? So I honestly think flavored coffee is going to make it as
I
our fourth topic.
I think
it's
a good idea.
I think it's good that we end on something light.
Mm.
And there is nothing lighter than that delicious topic. A flavored coffee.
Are we talking about the powdered stuff you can put in the coffee as well?
I think we could talk about a lot of different things.
Like the international expressions, like the one with the two women who sit in. I remember when I was in France and they're both drinking some powdered coffee monstrosity.
And they had never even been to France.
Exactly.
And they were just imagining it.
International delights or something like that.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Which...
We've got our work cut out for us.
It does.
Are you sure you're not a robot? I am not convinced.
You know, and today this happened to me three times when people said hello and I said good, how are you? I did this today three times, mm-hmm. which made me think, not very hard, but I thought about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. Why was I doing it?
Because you're not engaged in that moment, mm. and you sometimes you're getting the, because I've had this happen to me too, where I say hello to someone and they're like, good, how are you? And I realize that they were expecting me to say, hey, what's up, or how you doing? Mm. And I say hello, and their brain fills in the rest, mm. and then I just smile and wave and move on from them because they obviously don't care enough to listen to me.
What was weird about me though is that it was my initial thing. Like even before they said hello or I said hello, I just went up to people and I said, good.
That is weird.
It was weird.
Okay, so he might be having a stroke. Like that.
I was having a stroke.
You were having
a stroke today.
Between Johan's medical issues and my mechanical issues, we may have a very interesting podcast for you tonight.
And the fact that I'm a lightweight, and so one glass of wine gets me pretty drunk, and then I start saying really inappropriate things, I think we are going to have... Oh no, we're talking about that. Sorry, everyone. A text just came in, and it's. I'm so excited. I started vibrating. We're talking about that.
She did mean internally vibrate. She didn't mean she took out a device.
No.
Although
that would be hot, though, been creepy.
So the lovely Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle.
Just texted us. Discuss why Twilight, though popular, is not in fact a literary masterpiece.
Wow.
She continued to say that she's annoyed with Twi's today.
Okay, I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'm going to just, I would posit to Danielle that no one argues that it's a literary masterpiece.
That is actually the major issue with that text.
Rarely. So I'm going to enroll in my English courses this semester in Canterbury Tales, medieval English literature, and Twilight.
I like that Danielle's going around angry at everybody for thinking that this is a literary masterpiece.
I mean, 13-year-old girls think it is, but 13-year-old girls also think that Justin Bieber
is a masterpiece.
And a masterpiece. So, yeah, I mean, and I've got no beef with the Beeb, none, or with people who like him, but I do think most people outgrow him once they hit 1920, I'm just putting it out there. So
maybe people will be outgrowing Twilight, is what you're saying.
Though,
but there's grown adults.
Oh my God, so many adults who are Twihards and who go to the theater with like Robert Pattinson's face on their t-shirt. I have feelings about this, so if we want to back up, we're going to wait.
No, I say we take it when it comes.
I say Twilight, and then we'll loop back around to cute animals
and gun control. Dear Lord.
Here's my issue, and I had this with Twilight, and I had this with the other... there's always a book that everybody's reading in the subway, right? And it's usually Twilight, or... What was it? The girl who kicked the...
It's basically the girl with the dragon tattoo.
The girl who kicked the dragon tattoo.
That's all.
The girl with the dragon tattoo. She didn't kick the dragon tattoo. She kicked the hornet's nest.
While she had the tattoo on.
Exactly.
Her.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a lot going on.
I'm going to say that the Kindle and the Nook and the iPad have made it a little harder to creep on people in the subway what they're reading. And it does make me sad. I wish it projected somewhere for you what you were reading.
You can see what people are reading,
Although, because of that...
The reflection in their eyeballs.
I was reading something on how that did actually help boost 50 Shades of Grey to its fame because people didn't want to carry around the book, but people... It was like... The top seller of all ebooks in the world last year. And Beth is
read all
three words.
Oh. I read all three. And I read it on a Kindle. And my sister kind of grudgingly gave it to me for my birthday. She said, are you sure this is what you want? I said, yes, I want to be part of the pop culture zeitgeist. I want to know what people are reading. I want to know why they're talking about it. And so I read it.
You read three of them.
Read, it's a trilogy. I mean, seriously.
But when the initial curiosity... It's to read three of them then makes it a little bit further than just initial curiosity.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, That sounded super judgy. And
it was judgy.
I block your judgment.
Okay.
I read a lot of romance novels growing up, and I still do read them, actually. I really love them. But the thing that I love about this book is that it's super vanilla, and that's not a knock. I think vanilla is a term that's used unfairly, and vanilla can be a good thing. It's actually super vanilla. It's a dude who wants to have sex with a chick, and she wants to have sex with him, and she's a virgin. It's actually really, really old school romance. It's like 1970s style romance, like with this super alpha hero who is controlling and possessive and I know what's right for you, and she's virgin, she's never been kissed before, she's very innocent, and by the end of the book, spoiler alert, they're married and they have a kid.
At the end of the first one?
No, but the end of the third.
Oh, wow.
Like the end of the trilogy, they're married and have a child. And so it's very, very throwback style romance novel couched as something revolutionary because he likes to spank her. And BDSM is actually not a new topic for romance novels, nor is it a new topic for people who, you know, have lived in the world for more than 20 years. But that book just hit something. Yeah. It just stopped. Okay, sorry. That was a bad pun. Sorry, that was a really bad pun.
I'm glad you caught that. Puns? Yeah, I've got them.
How can you not? Not. But, and of course, this comes back to Twilight, because Fifty Shades of Grey started as Twilight fan fiction that then she had to change because she was getting sued, and then she turned it into a book.
What is fan fiction? What do you mean fan
fiction? Oh, my God. Okay.
What do you mean, what is fan fiction?
How does he not
fiction?
Know that? Please tell me you know what fan fiction is.
Oh, my favorite
okay,
fan
good.
Fiction.
Okay, good.
Just, well, I teach high schoolers, so of course I know what fan
Thank
fiction
God.
Is. I had some really bad Glee fan fiction come in my way.
Who was getting paired in the Glee fan fiction?
Oh, these are fans who are creating fiction based on what they like. Oh,
yes,
okay, that is self-explanatory.
Yeah,
almost,
it's a fairly fairly clear
it's
name.
It's on the nose a little bit.
So I had a student who was writing. It was a gay couple. And it was the couple on Glee, the Blaine and Blaine.
And yep. Glee is the television show.
And then it got
telling myself or the viewers, I don't know.
What are you telling? Glee is the television show. And it got a little weird because the student then had them adopting a kid.
Wow.
And naming it Austin. And I was just like, fan fiction creeps me out. So fan fiction in general creeps me out, but my favorite that I have no personal connection to is the Harry Potter sex stuff, where it's either Hermione and Ron, or Harry and Hermione,
Whoa.
Or Harry and Ron
wow.
porn stuff, and it's like,
and it's people write
come
this.
On, people. No one wants to really think about, like, J.K. Rowling hit the nail on the head with how Twitter page talked about teenage emotions, and maybe, you know, more teens are having sex than they were in the books, but I thought she didn't. I don't need to read that. I don't want to think about that wizard's wand that way.
Well, some people do. It's why fan fiction is huge. But do you know that the origins of, and I'm getting this wrong because I'm sure it goes back even farther, but do you know the origins of fan fiction is actually semi kind of slash fic? Do you know what slash fic is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So slash fiction, the original slash fic was Kirk and Spock on Star Trek, was people writing about the sexual tension between Leonard Nimoy.
Was there?
I know. I mean, it depends. Some people say there is. You know, they like to find homoeroticism in a lot of things. Some people say there isn't. But slash fic is, you know, you pair two people who wouldn't be paired because they've been defined. Kirk was absolutely defined as a straight dude. Mm-hmm. On Star Trek, I mean, he was making out with a different woman in every episode. And Spock was, I'm sure their Star Trek fans would argue with me, but Spock was kind of written almost as asexual or as kind of removed from those human emotions. And so people wrote this slash fic that was about Spock and Kirk hooking up, and it became this big thing, and women like went crazy for it. And it was almost the birth of modern fan fiction, and fan fiction now has its own life. And every show you can Google any show that you want, and every show will have fan fiction. And the feeling of it is if you've ever watched a show or a movie where the characters didn't do what you wanted them to, or they didn't pair
you get to
people,
live it out now.
Exactly. And so it actually can be kind of satisfying. And some of it is, I mean, there's a lot of shitty fan fiction out there, but some of it's actually really beautifully written and people actually care enough about it to write well. And then some of it is kind of disturbing. Like when you're writing about 15-year-olds, you know, teenagers having sex with their 25-year-old teachers, like that starts to cross the line for me. But, you know, I mean, people can write whatever they want, so.
But you were saying
that. I will say they weren't having sex with the, like, it was.
It was all peer.
It was very nice, like, I appreciate you stuff. It was.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
Albeit creepy. We used to say that there was every year you had a bathtub student, which meant the student who you were afraid that you were going to go home one day and pull back your shower curtain and they'd be like standing there like, hey, how are you? Because every time you turned a corner, that kid was
there.
And it's nice. It is nice that kids feel comfortable talking to certain teachers and they have that place to go. And, you know, as one of the only out teachers at my school, kids would come to me all the time and just talk about issues like that, and because they felt they could. I was an adult who they could talk to. But at the same time, there were days when you just wanted to be like, I don't know how to tell you to come out to your parents.
Wow, they would ask you this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, all the time.
What would you say? What was your response?
I'd say, you know, it depended on the kid.
Yeah.
Some kids have really conservative parents who they have, you know, dip their toe in that water of that conversation. You're like, oh.
And you can get in trouble too if they say you told them to be.
Yeah.
To do that.
I'll just say, you know, I would maybe suggest some literature for them to read and maybe give some ideas of, you know, things that they should just start breaking the ice. Start introducing the topic is not a giant sin earlier. And other times I would say, you know, I know your parents. They love you unconditionally. Mm. This is a conversation for you to have when you decide it's right, but your parents love you. That is not going to change. It may be awkward. Your parents love you. You know, so that's pretty much what I would say.
Do you feel like kids are getting more comfortable over, I mean, I know, I mean, you've been a teacher forever, but I mean, you see it across the board.
In 8 years, my first year, a kid was writing his personal statement and broke down crying because he didn't know how to come out. And he didn't say that much to me, but I could tell that was the subtext. We never really spoke about that. I ran into him years later, and he kind of admitted that that was the subtext. And another time, but the last couple years, I've had 10th graders coming out to me and things like that. So it's been nicer. And, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't feel comfortable to come out yet, so.
Yeah, high school was, it's interesting the number of people who, when I was in high school, obviously I didn't have to deal with it, but the number of people who, through Facebook, you find out are now out.
And now you know them through Facebook.
Now I know, yeah. Right, because of Facebook, I've caught up with people who I knew, you know, because I'm in my 30s, so, you know, I graduated.
And we all have to have that big old rainbow flag as our the background pick, whatever it's called.
Well, I heard that's in the bylaws.
Yeah, it is. You are not allowed to make out with other dudes.
Whoa.
If you do not have some kind of gay pride banner.
Yeah.
And there's a once a week you have to, at least the status has to be, I am actually gay.
I am.
In the status.
Right.
I am.
Your status still has to gay, be declarative.
Still happening.
A big homo.
Yeah.
It's Friday, I'm a big homo. Check.
Exactly. But
is dating maybe someone, who knows, but it's going to be a dude.
Yeah. The person will have matching pants parts, just so you know.
Pants parts. I like the idea that we, it's like, ooh, sorry, John, you have a button-down fly and I have a zipper today. We need to,
pants
who's going to change? Who's going
to
do it?
Because our pants have to match as well.
They have to have the same parts. Same pants parts.
But I was actually really happy because I taught for a few years in my 20s. And even just a few years later from when I graduated, and I taught at the same high school where I graduated. So it was literally the same culture, the same environment.
Yeah.
I had quite a few students who were out and
In high school?
In high school.
Wow, that is so foreign to me.
Who were out and who were, and for whom, and I don't know, I don't want to say it was no big deal because I don't know. I don't know what they mm-hmm. felt like. I don't know what they went through. But I know that they, both of the kids I'm thinking of were extremely popular, two of the most popular kids in their grade, and were out and were happily out. So, you know, just how much had changed even mm-hmm. in 6 or 7 years, which made me so happy. So I can only imagine now, and it's been 10 years later, that things are evolving and getting better-ish. I know it kind of depends on where you live and where you're from and stuff like that.
That's true.
You said it's foreign to you?
Well, I mean, I went to an all-boys Catholic high school. And so there were people who were, there were guys who were obviously maybe at that point and didn't come out. But if somebody did, it wouldn't have gone over well with a single person in the entire school, which is weird, which is very weird. And that's why for me, I mean, at least maybe in grade school too, it was not anything I could imagine somebody being comfortable enough to do when they were that young, because the ridicule would be too overwhelming.
No, do you think?
Even, I mean, the ridicule was enough for people who weren't out and who people thought had the inclination that people may have been.
Yeah.
And it was, people were very judgmental and kind of cruel. Not everybody.
Was it the culture of the school? You said it was an all-boys Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Was the culture of the religion?
No, nobody's religious. It's like, it's just, you have to, like, in Los Angeles, everybody's basically going to private religious schools.
Okay.
Unless you go to, the public school system's not so great. I don't know if it was because it was an all-boys. I think that probably was a big factor. It was a very, like, kind of a, I don't know how you'd say it, but I think that was probably a huge factor in it. It's interesting. I imagine a lot of people from that school didn't feel comfortable doing that until they were out, for sure, until they're out of the school.
I read this great book called Dude, You're a Fag. I can't remember the name of the author, but it studied the culture of masculinity in high school, and it was mostly a lot of, it felt like someone's thesis, but turned into a book. It was brilliant. It looked into just that concept of how we construct masculinity, and that masculine equals not sucking dick. So,
well, that's a really, I think the really important thing too is, I love that you use the word construct, because it's really, for a lot of people, it's foreign to them, this idea of constructing gender expression, masculinity, femininity, and what that means, because to them, it's innate. It's innate that men are men and women are women, and what they don't realize is that what they mean is straight men are straight men, straight women are straight women, and even that, of course, there's huge variety and gender expression within that. I just think it's so important because I'm really, really interested in gender expression and how it happens and how we decide. What's so interesting is when you say, you know, it's not masculine to suck dick, I agree, or in the sense of construct of masculinity. And it's also the hierarchy of what's valued. So, like, it's not masculine to do it, it's feminine, and the feminine is still placed a lower tier down. And so it's okay for women to do it because they're women, they're not men. And in fact, if women don't do it, they're kind of lesser. And yet if men do it, they're kind of lesser. And it's this really fucked up dynamic of how we value behaviors and expressions of gender. In a society that's still getting used to the idea that, you know, men do suck dick and women don't. And, you know, and like everybody kind of expresses their gender in a different way.
I will say one thing that I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I feel like men also feel that any sexual thing that they're doing with somebody else, the receiving end is it's always like a degrading process for women too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, even women suck dick or women have sex, it's always like the attitude the men always give is that they have triumphed over this in issue, you know, they have done this and it is a degrading thing, like suck that dick, stuff like that, you know,
I've planted my flag,
yeah, like, yeah. So I think that, like, I think that also plays into it, because you have if you know, whether it's a woman or a man doing it, I think it's men view it as a degrading action.
Absolutely.
A degrading act. And and so that's interesting too.
No, I think it's really true. And I think what's interesting to me,
you can't really have sex with a guy without being very degraded, in other words.
Well, I mean, I I would say yes or no. I would say yes and no. I would say yes and no.
Let me tell you, Joe.
Right, because, I mean, in the sense that, like, in one sense, like, I don't, like, I have a really hard time. Like, I know someone, a friend of mine who I absolutely love, and he's a great guy, and he actually has a really hard time getting blowjobs because he feels like it's a degrading act for women. Mm. And I always say to him, I'm like, you know, it's really important that you, you know, and I haven't said this to him, actually. I almost did, but I said, you know, you need to be careful because it's really important that you don't tell me what's degrading to me.
Yeah.
Because that takes away my power. That takes away my agency. And I, when I'm with someone who I want to be with, if I want to be making out, if I want to be naked, if I want to be having sex, if I want to be sucking someone's dick, if I want to be doing whatever, that is my choice. And it's certainly informed by cultural expectations, yeah, because everything we do is informed by cultural expectations. But at the same time, we have to allow for individual choices as well. And we have to allow for the fact that I am making choices for myself as a woman who gets to make these choices as a sexual person.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah, choices. Right? Okay. Cheers to that. Cheers to that.
Clinking, cheers clinking glasses.
Now, can I ask you, what is the cutest clinking animal you have ever seen on video?
I was just
video?
About to say, time.
Now that we've gone over that.
I know I
dick just, sucking hump. We can get into the animals.
Okay, so the dick sucking hump is done for now. For now. It's always just for now. But I'm sorry because I know I was just the one talking, but I have to say, my cutest animal video is still the otters holding hands as they float in the water. What?
Cute.
What?
That sounds adorable.
What?
I haven't seen it either.
I will send it to both of you.
Thank you.
They separate for a moment because they're in water, and then the otter reaches out its paw so they can hold hands again.
Whoa.
And it is the cutest, most amazing I wanna bury my face in that video. I'm sorry.
Do you think that cute? Do you think that cute animals realize how cute they are? Do
yes.
they know?
I think some do.
I think they do.
Squirrels know that squirrels people think know. They're cute.
I really hate squirrels.
I hate squirrels.
I know you do.
They're little dirty.
They're rats with tails.
They're mean little creatures.
But what do they? Why they mean? Did they do anything to
you? All right. Well, not to me personally, but I had a golden retriever growing up, and before the Golden Retriever, I actually had a German Shepherd, and that's the dog I want to talk about. Because the German Shepherd, Greta.
Greta?
We like to give our animals
names initially. She was 90 years old instantaneously.
Greta.
And German.
The German Shepherd.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Golden Retriever's name was?
Hannah.
That's good, actually.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, uh-huh. So anyway, Greta was epileptic. Who knew your dogs could be epileptic?
I knew.
But when you're...
You knew about his dogs being going to be epileptic?
Yes, I looked at his Wikipedia page. Anyway, I'm sorry, continue.
There's a lot about Greta on my wiki. It's true. So Greta was epileptic, and when she would get herself so worked up, she would have seizures. Jesus. And one of the things that really got her worked up, we had this 8-foot fence, and she could actually jump over it if she wanted to. This dog was athletic, but an athletic epileptic dog.
Wow.
But the squirrels would run along the back side of the fence, and then they just like swish their little tails up, and she would bark and bark and jump and get herself all worked up, and they knew they were doing
that. Was
they
the
knew
game
the dog.
They knew the game.
Yeah, they knew the game. Jerks. And it was tease the epileptic German Shepherd.
Yeah.
That, you know, just is nothing but protective of these two boys that are growing up in this suburban house.
Yeah.
You know, everyone in my family now hates squirrels.
Really?
We are a squirrel-hating family.
Well, how could you not be when they're teasing your poor, sweet, epileptic German Shepherd? No, golden German Shepherd.
German Shepherd.
German Shepherd. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm a little drunk.
They tease
right now.
They tease the golden retriever later when the German Shepherd passed away.
Wow. And they had essentially killed the German
Shepherd. She was a little bit dumber. Yes, they killed the German Shepherd. She was
the ridicule. I mean, it's possible.
So Hannah was a sweetheart, but she didn't really care.
How long did the dogs live? How long did Hannah live?
Greta, she showed up at my dad owned a furniture store, and she just kind of showed up, and we took her home, and
German
so we
Shepherd
had her.
Just showed up.
Yeah, she was just showing up, and one of my dad's employees kept feeding my dad's lunch to this dog.
Your dad was just, his lunch was in the public space.
Apparently. No, it was in the back room.
And they would take the, your
they
dad's
would take
lunch
my father's and, lunch and feed the dog.
They did not fear your father, obviously.
Apparently not.
Since they were
these
willing.
Are the, this is like the same dynamic as the squirrels with
yes,
with Greta.
It's my whole family is epileptic German Shepherd, metaphorically.
Wow.
And the rest
this
of the
plays
world
out forever.
Are squirrels. It's true.
So generations of Austins are going to be dealing with this problem.
We're going to be fenced in and teased by squirrels on the other side.
Don't fence me. What are you what are you drinking?
I don't know how to say anything in French.
Cointreau.
It's delicious.
It's orange.
Is what it is. Oh, it's good.
And I had
it's
no
the
idea.
Orange, right?
It's,
oh,
yeah, mix God. That with the whiskey and it's delightful.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I can't eat it.
Oh,
that smells
so
straight.
Good. This
oh,
is
yeah,
something,
it's not meant to be done straight.
This is something I wouldn't realize how alcoholic it is and I would be blacked out.
Ooh, it's good in a truffle. If you make a chocolate truffle.
That's what I imagine it being good in.
Ooh, yum. Mm.
This is a Ukrainian, I don't know what the rest of it is, but
dear
my coworker got it for me. And it's absolutely awful.
Wow.
Can I smell it?
Yeah,
I
it
like
smells
smelling
as bad
things.
As it tastes.
Does it? Okay, good. So I will actually get a good, okay, and it makes terrible.
It just pop up. It doesn't need to make that
it doesn't
noise,
need to
bro.
Make that noise.
Darn it, I just wish we had Smell-O-Vision. Smell-A-Podcast.
What's Smell-A-Podcast? So that people can
smell.
This is an experience.
And I love that they did that for a little while in the movie theaters. They
yeah.
had smell.
Did they really
just,
do
yes,
I,
they did.
For what movies?
They would have movies that would say so a woman had made an apple pie, and all of a sudden the smell of apple pie would waft into the theater.
I just imagine, like, though, that in this movie that they would waft the apple pie, but then, like, 30 minutes later in the movie, like, the woman was, like, hit by a car, but the apple pie smell was still
no,
lingering in the movie.
Like,
they have to fan
blood
it
and
out.
Rubber.
Oh, they'd have to overpower it.
Blood
and rubber.
I actually saw... Actually, I thought it smelled good. I'd drink it.
Maybe
yeah,
I'll
it's 40% alcohol. It's a fairly alcoholic beverage. And I get drunk on red wine. Oop. Damn,
oh,
dude.
It's Ukrainian label.
So
that's
I,
Ukraine label. Yes.
It is making that noise for me, too.
It's making that lovely noise. I like
so
that noise.
So, I guess I would say on the animals thing.
Yes.
This is what I would say to
yes.
conclude that topic.
Yes. Let's finish talking about cute animals, though there's never really a good
there's
finish.
Never really a,
no.
an end point to it, but I would
not.
Say that foxes are very cute.
Super
my
cute.
My favorite animal.
Oh, my God.
I've liked them since The Little Prince.
Sir,
oh,
well done.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually read Fantastic Mr. Fox when I was about 6.
Really?
And I
okay.
fell in love with that
yeah.
book. So, you know. Yeah.
Fox are great.
They are.
Adorable. The hedgehog. Have you seen that one? The hedgehog sneezing. What is he doing? Sneezing,
God.
I think.
Any little baby animal sneezing, like the baby panda that sneezes and scares its mom.
Yes, I've seen that one. That's
that's iconic.
Terrific.
Like, that showed up on an episode of 30 Rock. It's so iconic.
Wow.
I mean,
well, if there is one place in the media
you're teasing me.
That is
you're teasing me.
You know, the ultimate
he's still teasing you.
He's still
the
teasing
ultimate
me.
Judge.
He's now the squirrel to
wow.
you. To
I am
your
the, God, I'm the epileptic German Shepherd and you're my squirrel.
Yes, it's true. In life you are either the squirrel or the epileptic German Shepherd. You think because she is the podcast host,
no,
she's not immune to being teased.
No.
No one is immune to being teased.
It's true.
So let's move on to gun control.
It's true.
Because there's nothing I like talking more about than the Second Amendment.
You know, as someone who grew up in the suburbs, some of my friends, actually, one of my friends who I texted and did not text me back in time, I did... just get a text teaser for next podcast.
Ooh, what
the
is
topic.
That?
No, I'm not gonna.
No,
it's great,
say
oh wow, it's a tease.
It is great.
It's
though.
A tease. Yes, maybe at the
is
end.
Great,
yeah,
though.
I like that. The idea at the end.
So she lived way out in kind of farm country, and her dad owns a gun, but it's a hunting gun,
mm-hmm.
and he shoots squirrels in their backyard, and this is what her father and I bonded over. So
your hatred for squirrels.
Our hatred for squirrels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't personally want a gun. I definitely don't need a Glock to shoot a squirrel. But I feel like if you're doing hunting and you've got a rifle and it's a sport, I'm okay with it. But I see no one going out into the woods to shoot some deer to eat.
And you could also rent it.
A really big you know, AK-47. I feel like there are certain guns that we should have access to and other guns that no one needs to protect their home.
Well, and statistically, if you own a gun, you're actually more likely to be a victim of violence because guns either get used in domestic situations or if someone comes into your home to commit an act of violence and you have a gun, that gun can be used against you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was raised on a farm. My father didn't own a gun, but all the men who worked for him on the summers and stuff, they were all hunters. They all had rifles and they all went out hunting and they were all amazingly wonderful, kind, gentle guys. Like they're my models of gentle masculinity, as it were. And so I have absolutely no problem with people owning guns. And I don't understand why people think gun control means literally wresting guns from the hands of people. And I admit, like, when someone says this is our freedoms in our Second Amendment, I'm like, you can't own a tank if you aren't in the Army. You can't even own a tank if you are in the Army.
You can own a Hummer.
You can own Well, thank you, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was the one who got that legislation passed to bring the Hummer, to take the Humvee and turn it into a civilian vehicle known as the Hummer. He was kind of important in that.
My now former uncle, Mike, divorce, bought a Hummer, and I was really happy that two of my cousins showed up to Thanksgiving that year and came in and saw me and just said, "Scott, we have just voted you least likely to own the Hummer."
Wow.
I thought,
that's good.
I am projecting a good identity.
Yeah, that is a compliment.
I judge people I try not to be judgmental, but I'm actually super judgmental. I'm a J on the Myers-Briggs, which is a judger, which doesn't mean you're judgmental, but in my case it does. I'm super judgmental. And I super judge people who own Hummers.
Hmm.
Especially in New York.
I think any big car, I super judge people. It doesn't have to be Hummer. Like the big Suburbans, anything that's huge, I think is just so stupid.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
But my dad's a farmer.
Yeah, it's like...
But people in the city who own one, I mean, it's also very inconvenient. Mm-hmm. So why are you doing it? And in Los Angeles, everybody has something like this.
Yeah. I can't imagine. Like the car traffic in Los Angeles drives me up a wall.
And thank God you don't drive around with a gun in your car, because you get angry and you would shoot people.
You would shoot people.
I do think there is
that was me bringing it back to gun control.
I saw that.
I like that.
Keep us on track here.
Yeah. I went to a gun range once with a friend and shot off some handguns.
Hmm.
And it was
I like the way you said handguns there. That was
Handguns. And it was really, I really enjoyed it a lot. I was raised Quaker, and I still am Quaker. I consider myself Quaker, and we're pacifists. It's one of the tenets of the religion.
You're
the faith.
A friend.
I'm a society of friends.
You are not a society. You are one of the friends.
I am
in
a
the society.
Everybody's a society. Everybody individually is a society.
No.
We're all friends, and then together we're society.
Yeah, you're a member of a society of friends.
Don't tell me about my faith, dude. Anyway,
I'm just telling you about
my First Amendment.
I'm telling you about grammar.
Fine.
I'm not telling you.
Listen, I'm a proofreader, and you telling me about grammar is like me telling the Pope about Catholicism.
We have just turned this into grammar nerd.
Which actually is...
You dragged the Pope into this, which is totally uncalled for.
At some point, the Pope will probably enter into the conversation.
Well, Benedict 16? Benedict is he?
I do not like him. He is... Did you ever see the pictures of him next to the... the Emperor from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And he looks just like him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I miss JP too. I do. I liked him.
I mean, all the popes were kind of.
Well, that's
there's
what
an
they're
aggressiveness
supposed to
about
do.
It.
But JP too, for what he was, he's my homeboy.
Have you listened to Pope's speeches? Have you read them?
I've never
read them.
Yeah.
What do they say in these speeches, Jim?
I grew up Catholic.
Yeah, me too. But
very
not
recently,
really, actually,
he was he just spoke against
Benedict.
Yeah, Benedict. Ugh.
What did he say?
It's
probably the same speechwriter for all of them.
Yeah, but
No, it's not.
He's regressive, I think.
He is. They picked someone to, rein it in after JP2.
Yeah.
Instead of... Because I remember the people who were, up for the job, if you will, when all those cardinals were meeting in Vatican City. And It was this South American guy who I was like, yeah. And all I remember about him, I don't remember his name. I just remember that he took the bus. And I was like, yeah, I like him.
He took the bus.
That guy
took the bus.
Takes the bus. And I...
You also take the bus.
More often the subway.
Well, that makes you feel like you could potentially be the Pope.
Public transportation.
I don't even want to be the Pope. And yet,
if you you were offered the job to be Pope tomorrow, would you take it?
Well,
I would.
I do like costumes.
And you'd have a great costume. Are you being serious? Like,
I'm serious. Would you take it?
Well, I mean, in talking in realm of seriousness, obviously, I can't. I'm a woman. So you, would you... take the role, if someone said to you, the white smoke has come, we've chosen a new pope, and you, Johann, are the new pope, would you take that?
I would. Take it, yeah.
And would you, I mean, so you were raised Catholic, but you said
I wasn't raised Catholic. My parents are not religious. And so I went to Catholic schools since kindergarten all the way through high school. So I've gotten the special treatment, but I'm not Catholic.
I am baptized and confirmed.
I am not baptized. I'm going to hell, according
baptized
to your
religion. Baptized and confirmed. You know what? I learned in confirmation class that I could do it with this glass of water that's sitting
that is
in
true.
Front of me if you really want me to.
No, I don't, because I'm Quaker and we don't.
You know what, though?
Yeah,
I have been told this too once, but then the priest said that it wouldn't be authentic. He said that. You know what? Then he said to me, Scott, he said, I remember going up to this priest. I was in fourth grade. I said to him, I'll never forget this. Father Mike. I said, Father Mike, I'm not baptized. A lot of people in my class were baptized. I'm not Catholic. Does this mean I'm going to hell?
And he said, yes.
And this is what he said to me. He said, let me put it this way, Johann. If you're not on the winning team, you can't go to the Super Bowl.
No way.
It is etched in my brain that he said this to me. I'll never forget.
That's fourth grade. Up.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
To a fourth grader.
Yeah.
Oh. And to compare your faith and your belief in God to fucking football and the Super Bowl, which I actually don't think is surprising. I think that's how a lot of religious leaders do see it. It's like some big game.
Contest.
That we're playing, contest for the souls and who goes to the Super Bowl. But to say that to a fourth grader and to inform, and like, obviously you can talk about it now in a really relaxed way, but that I think that really screws people up.
Yeah, it's not really fair.
No, it's not fair at all.
But I think even then I didn't care enough about it. I don't know why. I think being so close to something sometimes, it really makes you...
Yeah.
Like, I never believed in it. It was like kind of like, I always just accepted it. I thought it was reality, but then one day I just split from it.
So are you an atheist?
My understanding is atheism is that you believe in
there's no God.
You're agnostic.
I guess I'm agnostic. I don't know what God would be, though. I mean, what does that mean? I don't understand I feel like, does everybody understand what this means? Because I've never understood what this means.
You know what is
great?
Talk
about it as if it makes sense.
Is for the first time, I'm teaching fifth graders. And the other day, I had...
What were you teaching before fifth graders?
I was teaching 11th and 12th graders.
Okay.
Wow,
so when I had...
This is refreshing.
Yeah.
Well, I still have 12th graders and 9th grade. I have a weird spread. 5th, 6th, 9th, 12th.
Wow.
Bizarre.
What are the best?
Different. I look forward to everything but sixth grade.
Yeah. Because that's when they really start going
crazy.
It's hell.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me enough to go back to being 14.
It's funny. They're not even 14. They're like 11.
Yeah,
you couldn't pay me enough
12,
to go back
12,
to
11.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah,
I understand that. You couldn't pay me enough to go back to being 14. I'm saying regardless of how old they are, that's my age that you couldn't pay me enough to go back to being.
So my fifth graders. I'm sitting at a table with three students. And
this is when, at lunchtime?
This is in science writing, which I am teaching.
Science writing?
Nice.
Science writing.
I like that.
There's a science teacher and me as a writing teacher together, and we team teach the science writing class. And
Let me just say, recently when people say the T, like you're writing, I have now gotten into this habit of saying writing.
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 Do you also wear mittens?
Yeah, I've gotten into this like phase where I emphasize the T.
That's excellent.
Isn't
as
it?
Someone named Scott...
Scott.
I appreciate that.
Not Scott.
Yeah, I'm not Scott. I'm not some bad music from the 90s. I am Scott. Anyway, so this little fifth grader just turns to me one day and says, you know, Mr. Austin, I wonder, something I've always wondered is, who created God? And I...
Damn.
Was at a loss for words, except... Thank God the next student over, who is adorable, just said, you know what's something I always wondered is, when are we going to have cars that fly? And then the third student at the table said, here's my question. Can I sharpen my pencil? And I just thought that
wow.
All three of those represented a nice tearing of humanity. Of where their thinking was.
I would like to think I am the sharpen the pencil
guy. Like,
in that,
you know what?
On that
to answer these in easiest to hardest, yes, go ahead and sharpen your pencil. 2027. And, you know, the whole idea of faith is that you believe without proof. Proof. So in this science writing class, I'll say a lot of scientists have a hard time believing in God. Because you have to believe without proof, which is what faith is. So there's the best answer I can give you.
Were they satisfied?
All three of them were, except for maybe the girl I just threw out a year. She said, really?
She could tell you were making
and
that
I said,
up.
I don't know. I think it would be chaos. People think they own the road as it is.
It's true.
This airplane.
Own the sky.
Goodness.
Yeah,
Jetsons is not a documentary.
I remember once I went to a poly pagan party.
Wow.
Polly Pocket?
No, like polyamorous.
A girl in your high school named Polly Pagan.
Polly Pagan.
Polyamorous.
Polyamorous. Pagan. All these people were dating each other. I had the skeeviest dude. And the poly community is, you know, it's what it is. And it's just.
Excuse me, the poly community. Explain what this is. What does this mean?
People who believe, who are not monogamous. People who are.
I still just have Polly Pocket stuck in my head. Polly Pocket.
Polly Pocket. So, Polly, you know, and I'm...
Who's Polly Pocket?
Best doll ever.
Hold the phone.
I know there was...
Do we call it a doll when it's, like, the size of your pinky nail?
Polly Pocket?
Yeah.
It was a brand name?
You put her in your pocket.
Yeah.
And you take it out, and she had, like, a little... I never had a Polly Pocket.
I did not either. I was a Barbie girl.
I kind of had an androgynous... Well, I had a lot of Micro Machines.
They were good.
I remember Micro Machines.
Micro Machines.
Do you remember the guy who did the...
Oh, yeah.
Did the commercials?
He's still alive.
Yeah, he would talk as quickly as he possibly could. Blah, 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 blah. Yep.
Yeah,
I remember
and that was all he did, and I bet he made his fortune off that. But no, so Polly... And I don't know... I actually don't... I have no idea what poly community really is because I'm not a part of it, nor do I want to try to define it because it's not one thing. But for the purposes of this party, it was a bunch of friends and
is
most
this a party.
It was a party. It was a party.
Oh, the party you were at.
The party I was at.
They were discussing this podcast as a party.
No,
I was like, sure.
It's a party in my pants. What? Anyway,
your pants that are parted the same as us. They both
yes.
have pockets.
Yes, our pants match.
We are
our
all
pants
wearing
parts
denim.
Don't match. We're all wearing. Are we all wearing denim? We are.
Cheers to denim.
We all have
Cheers
pockets.
To denim. So
and we can put poly in.
Exactly.
Weird. I'm ouch.
So you were how?
So I was at. It was just did last year.
I'm
it was
sorry,
just last
this
year.
This was recently.
This was recently. This was so not even last
can
year.
Can you
this
bring
was...
me to one of these things?
Can
sure.
Can I just say hold the phone? You just called me the guy who's talking about Polly Pocket weird when you want to talk about your Polly party.
Yes. Well, I got invited. Okay, so I got invited. My roommate and friend, who I love, is friends with this guy, and he's part of a small poly community. And the idea, he's married, and he has a girlfriend, and his wife has
with swingers.
You need to get out.
I think it's no. I
never leave my apartment.
First of all, I want to be careful because I don't believe the poly community. Necessarily defines themselves as swingers, and it's all. I don't want to
touchy
step,
subject.
I don't want to step on a landmine here. I don't want to step on a poly landmine. So anyway, so I was at this party.
It's gonna
multiple
explode all over the place.
All over me, all over my face, degrading
yeah,
my
that's good.
Several directions.
Yes, but no. So the party was really fun. Most of the people I met were really nice. There was one totally skeeve dude who was like, "I'm going to show you yoga moves and then follow you around the party." It was really gross.
Show you yoga what?
Yoga moves. He
yoga
was totally
moves.
Into showing partnered yoga moves and then following me around the party. And he had really gross long hair. And I just wanted to punch him in the face because that was the way I was feeling that night.
Punch him in the face.
But the best part of that night was that this older gentleman set up a telescope and was showing people the moon. And it was beautiful. And he was a science teacher. And he was amazing, this wonderful guy. And I got into this great conversation with this one guy who we were talking, we got on a conversation about religion, and he was a militant agnostic theist, and which is the idea of semantics, which is
a mat, if you will.
Exactly. And militant agnosticism to him was the I don't know if there's a God, neither do you, because the word no, but he's a theist, which is he believes in God and he prays to God, and he believes that when he is praying, he is actually praying to God. And so what I loved about him, and why I loved talking to him, was he was someone who really truly understood the difference between knowledge and belief. Mm. And knowledge is, and I mean, it can get super philosophical, and what is this glass, and do I really hold this glass, or do I perceive it, or blah, blah, blah. And it can get to the point where literally your brain is melting out your fucking ear. But the idea that I know that I'm sitting and having a conversation with you too about this, but I believe that there is an energy that connects us all, and that when we die, we all get back into that energy, whatever anyone believes. Mm. So the knowledge and belief split, which is why I love the idea of agnosticism, no matter what your religion, because agnosticism acknowledges that there's no way to know anything.
So I'm agnostic then, I would say.
I bet you are. So you seem like you would be.
You know what I don't know about? Organ trafficking.
Oh.
That was smooth, Scott.
Thank you. That was not at all a jarring segue.
Not even a little bit.
Let me just say that we had talked about this last week.
Jarring segue. That could be a band name. That could be the name of this podcast.
Whoa!
Yes!
That was amazing. That was a poly hand.
Poly high fives.
My hands felt completely connected to your hands.
Jarring segue.
Y'all, I just like you to know, and yes, I say y'all because it's the most perfect pronoun of all time. Y'all, you were here for the creation of our name, Jarring Segue.
Wow, this is good.
Love you so much.
Jarring Segue.
I'm gonna drink your water.
Flavored coffees. Now,
yeah, the opinion that I have about flavor, and I'm going to talk about flavored coffees in terms of, I'm going to talk about something that's not a flavored coffee, because a vanilla latte is not a flavored coffee because it's an espresso drink, but I have to say, I understand why people hate Starbucks. I do not.
Mm.
I do not hate Starbucks. I, in fact, appreciate that I know what I'm getting every time I go in.
I seasonally love Starbucks.
Me too. It's
in
seasonal
the fall
thing for me.
And, oh.
So what's your favorite drink?
Give me a red cup of anything. I'll take it.
Right?
Blood. They could be giving blood out to people.
It's
how
true.
Very Twilight of you.
But you know what's interesting is that you have, as animals, we by the season, like the smell in the sky, you know what season it was. Like, you sense it. But now, like, I see a red cup, I'm like, it's winter.
I'm like, it's not fall until I have a pumpkin spice latte.
That's how we
hate
tell now.
Pumpkin spice.
Well, that's because you're the devil.
I'm not the devil.
That is an indication that you are Satan.
God. Beelzebub hates pumpkin spice.
It's true, he does. That is in The Wasteland.
Oh.
Back to... Oh, I was thinking...
Paradise Lost. You were going to say Paradise Lost, right?
I was going to say Paradise Lost.
Yes, you were. You would have melted.
You know what? I want to be talking about T.S. Eliot tonight, but...
But apparently we need to talk about Milton. Can we also talk about Dante? Can we talk about...
The Inferno?
Dante,
sure.
The Inferno?
Sure. But first,
sure, but we're not
to talk about a gingerbread latte, because a gingerbread latte makes me happy.
Wow.
I had a gingerbread latte the other day, and I was disappointed, and I wish I'd gotten the peppermint mocha. I do.
Classic. You know, the peppermint latte, if you wanted to.
I could have.
How could you ever be disappointed by a gingerbread latte? It's like love in a cup.
You know what's love in a cup is my mom making me tea when I'm sick. That's love in a cup. Mm. Starbucks gingerbread latte is capitalism in a cup, which I will drink
down.
You
know what's my mom in a cup? That's love in a cup.
That sounds like a Dexter episode.
Yeah. Do you blend her?
Oh, God.
Back to organ trafficking.
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow.
Oh, dear Lord.
You got to ask for the double shot in these things, though, guys. I have to tell you.
I
they
do
only
not.
Put
it
one
on
shot.
The day of, depends on the day of work.
It's only milk if you don't do it.
It is not only... Sir, okay, first of all, I went for a long time not drinking coffee because it made me jittery.
Mm.
And now I do drink things.
Me too. Same story.
Okay, but now you're a double shot guy. So you
I've always been a double shot guy.
Wait, so how do you go from it makes you jittery to you're a double?
It never made me jittery.
You said same story.
Same story minus the jittery part of it.
Okay, so same story minus the most important part of the story. That's like saying, oh,
no,
the same story as Anna Karenina, except I didn't die at the end.
What? Spoiler alert, trains.
Thank you. I'll never watch that movie now.
It's a book by Tolstoy. There is zero reason why you get to call spoiler alert on, you know, an old Russian text by Tolstoy.
Yeah, everyone knows she gets hit by the train.
By the way, Romeo and Juliet, they both die. They kill themselves.
I've seen that movie.
So, I'm sorry, guys. Spoiler alert. The Bible ends with Jesus coming back. Well, it doesn't end there. But, I mean, Jesus comes back.
Oh, Beth? Oh, our friend.
I've not read the Bible.
Say the two Catholic schoolboys.
Never too late. Never too late to dive in.
At some point, I do want to read. At some point, I do want to read the main. I want to read the Bible. I would like to read the Quran. I would like to read all the.
You could do Genesis and Matthew and call it a day.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna put it there.
Okay.
So like that would give you a good enough foundation. Okay. You'd get every literary reference.
I like that. Scott, I like that.
Scott, can I ask you, when you were in grade school, you went to Catholic school?
No, I actually went to public school, but I was going to a Catholic church, and I went to Sunday school, and I taught Sunday school to kindergartners.
Boom. Wow.
Intense. So are you fully religious now?
I played Jesus in a youth group play.
That's a big role.
I always knew Jesus was gay.
Which I had to, like... You know, I was in a gay Jesus play recently.
Really? Were you Jesus?
No, I was not Jesus. I was one of the apostles. But Jesus and the apostles.
All of the apostles were gay. Corpus Christi,
Texas.
Oh.
It was called Corpus Christi. And I was James the Greater. and I was cast as him because he is a high school history teacher. In this adaptation, I was like, I feel like I'm being typecast. I'm playing me.
You were being typecast.
I was. But it was fun. It was a really nice production. It was interesting to think about, you know, who do we martyrize and who do we...
Mm-hmm.
And the play was written shortly after the Matthew Shepard incident.
Mm.
And so it's... but we had the Catholic Church. This was a production in Syracuse. And we had the Catholic Church pissed off at us because we were doing Corpus Christi and gay Jesus.
I kind of think you're doing something right when the... Not people who are Catholic, because I actually have many Catholic friends who are wonderful. But when the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, the very, like, $400 million, owns lots of property, the fucking Pope in his gold robes while people are starving, shit. When you piss them off, I think you're doing something right.
They are the largest private landowner in this lovely city of New York.
Yeah.
The Catholic churches.
Yes.
Second is New York University.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been a member of both.
Wow.
Which makes me feel swanky.
Mm.
You are swanky.
And or snooty. I'm not sure.
So those powdered flavored coffees, that was a jarring segue. Those powdered flavored coffees, are they disgusting or are they kind of secretly delicious and we all hate to admit them?
I like putting them in brewed coffee. I don't like putting them in water or like hot milk, cocoa, but it like...
Yeah, you put them in brew.
Just a spoonful of that hazelnut international loveliness inside of my... regular coffee. Sometimes I'll do the poor man's mocha, too, and use yesterday's coffee, heat it up in the microwave, and add a spoonful of hot cocoa and just call it a day.
Legitimate. I've never had that.
It helps mask the disgustingness of my laziness.
Hmm.
So, thank you so much for joining us for this first podcast. You got to witness our naming. I've already forgotten because I'm drunk. It was jarring segue. We are now named. You have witnessed the creation of a name of a podcast. Next time I won't get so drunk because otherwise I forget what our name is. But Jarring Segue, you have listened to the very first, the inaugural podcast of Jarring Segue. We will be back talking about enlightening topics. I'd like to thank you again. I'm Beth.
I'm Scott.
I'm Johan.
And we would just like to say thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Can't wait to talk to you again.
Good night.